Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us. As always, I love it when you've got questions for me. Anything financial, maybe it's IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning or taxes, whatever on your mind. Always, you can reach me at DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Just shoot the email there, DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And when we're talking about these important financial issues, I like to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. Good morning. Hopefully you're having a great morning. It was a crazy week for the markets, and we'll talk a little bit about that and probably all the emotions that you felt if you watched the markets and you were looking at your accounts wondering, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know, I do recall having a conversation this past week and with a couple of clients and also on one of the other radio spots that I had done, mentioning that it is always fun to look at your accounts when they're going up. I think we'd all agree with that, right? I mean, anybody would like to see their money grow. And so it's interesting when we look at them and they're going up and we think, oh, this is great. I'm going to be able to retire sooner than I thought, or I'm going to be able to go on that vacation or buy that vehicle or whatever it might be that your money is going to be used for. And you think things are going well. But then, boy, you look this past week at a couple of the days we had, especially on Tuesday when we saw that market drop right at the open and continued to fall further as the market stayed open prior to the conversation with Fed Chair Powell. And when his comments came out and his testimony, you heard him basically restating once again, as he has stated in the past, the Fed's position is going to be to keep interest rates low and to continue with their very easy monetary policy and continuing to purchase assets. And with that being said, creating all of that liquidity and keeping interest rates low, the markets made an amazing recovery in just a few hours to close actually in the green. Dow was down over 360 points at one point, closed up slightly. The NASDAQ was down, I think, well over 400 points and actually closed just slightly down for the day. So it was an interesting, wild ride. And again, as I said, there were probably those of you out there who are watching your accounts thinking to yourself, I should have sold. Or you might have said, gosh, I wish I had more money. The other side would be because, boy, is this really something that's going to continue, or can I get some good opportunity here to purchase some things that I like at a little bit less of a value? So again, when we look at the markets, I just have to say basically is you need to take a long-term approach. And as I said, it's fun to look at it when it's going up, not so much fun to look at it when it's going down. So the advice I would say is when it's going down, don't look at it. Let it just do what it does. If you're, as I say, working with a good advisor, someone who you feel confident and comfortable with, and they're giving you good advice, then you probably can feel good about your portfolio, even in a down market, knowing that the long-term outlook for that is good and that you're going to be just fine as the market progresses. So, again, I'm John Dombrowski. Thanks for tuning into the radio show here, The Word on Wealth. And there's lots to talk about this week. If you are close to retirement and moves like this are really a concern of yours, again, that's certainly a discussion that to have with your advisor. And if you would like to sit down and talk about that with myself, I'm happy to do that. You can schedule an appointment with me by calling my Scottsdale office directly at 480-991-1055, or you can request an appointment right on our website of grandcanyonplanning.com. And then also you can sign up for our weekly economic update. What's great about that is it gives you some great information about the markets and what is happening over the past week, and also what the future for the upcoming week, whether it's companies reporting, whether it's economic news, whatever it is, we've got some nice little things that you could glean from the weekly economic update. And you could sign up for that right on our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com by just typing your email address right there and hitting that send button, and we'll drop that into your email box each and every Monday morning. You know, there's a tip on there. And this week's tip says, if you're single, something to consider is having your estate planning documents in place, your insurance in place, life insurance, possibly even some disability income insurance. This is all because, of course, you're the sole provider of the family as a single parent, and you want to make sure that you have your affairs in order in the event something were to occur. And it's sometimes a difficult thing for us to grasp and to try to really want to proceed and do something when it comes to an estate plan. But please, it can be something that can be very easy for you by sitting down with a firm such as ours, Grand Canyon Planning, and we can walk you through the process and get all of those things in place for you so that you can feel a little bit more comfortable that, God forbid, something were to happen sooner than later, you are covered and you're providing for your loved ones. Okay. Also, we did see, as I mentioned, Fed Chair Powell speaking this week, talked about interest rates. They talked about a variety of things. If you were able to listen to the questions that were asked to Mr. Powell, it was kind of interesting. Of course, a lot of partisanship between the Democrats and Republicans, no question about it. Definitely two schools of thought. You know, I heard a lot of the questions from the Republicans, which talked about, they were really focusing in on more of the spending that the Fed is doing right now by purchasing assets, whether it's bonds or stocks and such. And the question really was, is it really sustainable? Is it even necessary based on where the economy is as the economy is recovering? And the Fed was, of course, defending its position on this, talking about that they believe, yes, it is needed at this point. Also asked about the spending bill, the next relief bill, the $1.9 trillion in spending. Is that something that's going to be necessary or not? And yes, the Fed, in this case, decided, hey, I'm not going to get involved in that conversation. That's not up to us. The Fed, that's not the Fed's decision. And we don't want to make a comment about that. So it was interesting to hear, you know, what questions he was willing to engage in. And he was pretty straight down the line on it. And it was an interesting conversation that was had. And it was interesting from my perspective, being that I am constantly, you know, on top of it and watching what's happening, not only with the economy, but what's happening with the markets. And we did see the gyrations of the market on Tuesday, which were pretty amazing, as we saw the precipitous drop at the open and then the recovery throughout the day after the Fed's comments. So if you noticed that, again, the Fed commenting how they were going to keep the same policies in place, continued on the same track that they're on here and have been talking about for the past year, that again eased the markets and ultimately allowed them to rebound. Also, the 10-year Treasury yield. Now, this is interesting. We talked about this last week as well. For those of you out there who are living on a fixed income, trying to receive interest off of maybe your bank accounts or CDs that you may have in the bank, or you may have some Treasury bonds, whatever it might be, corporate bonds, we did see interest rates again still trying to creep higher. And the Fed did, again, discuss this. Felt that this was something that may in the short term be something to see, but felt things were going to pretty much steady out throughout the rest of the year. So we're certainly keeping a close eye on that. And I believe that, you know, we've been talking about higher interest rates for the last decade, and we've been seeing nothing but the opposite. Interest rates continuing to fall for the last 10 years. It was a great place to be invested in bonds over the last 10 years. But the challenge moving forward is once interest rates do begin to creep higher, we have to be careful about those bond positions that we have, whether we have bond funds, whether we have individual bonds. All of those will be affected by higher interest rates, as well as companies that are you know, have that level that they'll get affected by that. And a lot of that times it's tech companies. And value stocks may also, the high valuation growth stocks may have some effect as we start to see interest rates rise. Are they going to continue to rise? Well, I don't have the answer to that, but we're certainly going to see moving forward. All right, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, check out our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information on the website and also ways to get a hold of us to schedule your own personal financial consultation. Please do that. Take the time to, poke around on our website and see what you can glean from that and hopefully feel good about contacting and reaching out to us here at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth, and we'll be back right after this short break. Stay here. All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. As always, thanks for joining us. You can get in touch with us if you'd like to by picking up the phone and scheduling an appointment at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055. Or go to our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and you can request an appointment right there online. Want to get right into our next topic here. We've got one of our local guests with us, Darren Sigrist of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter & Heiser. He is a CPA here in Scottsdale, taking some time out of his crazy, hectic schedule right now because of, it's a certain time of the year, isn't it, Darren?
It is a certain time of the year.
Good morning,
by the
way. The
best season of the year.
it's not the happiest. That's different.
I would never, venture that far.
To say it's the happiest. Okay, Darren, I've got a couple of emails here, and I want to get to them, and I'm not going to read the email. I'm just going to get into what the topic is. Thank you, by the way, for sending these emails to me. This is great. Right around tax time, Darren, a lot of people have questions about things that are going on with their taxes or trying to gather all their paperwork together to get them to people like you. And they call me because, we've got funds maybe invested for them, and they're asking me, hey, where's my tax forms, and where's this, and where's that? So we're, helping people get those forms so that they can start reporting their information to you. Now, there's a form called 5498. Let's talk a little bit about this form because people, I think, get confused. They get this form later in the year.
Right.
And they think that they have to use that as some way to file their tax return. Let's talk about it and clear it up. Form 5498.
Form 5498, it really does not generate any tax filings or matching. It's it's really a scorecard of your IRA accounts,
right?
Your retirement account, not 401k, but IRA accounts. And it's basically showing what you contributed for the year, in which year, and your overall balance on
value
on the account.
And you may have multiple 5498s, depending if you've got multiple IRAs, different companies.
You may, and there are years on that. It'll show a 2021 contribution, 2020 contribution,
right,
which can become pretty important from the standpoint of IRS letters and things down the road. So it's always nice to understand what those are, to retain those, because it can be an additional proof. But again, the overriding concern with the reporting on your tax return is, you've got until April 15th to make IRA contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got evidence that you've done that, even if your Form 5498 didn't necessarily classify it properly,
right,
you still have evidence that you made a timely
contribution.
IRA contribution. Yeah. So, but the investment companies, the IRA companies, they typically aren't going to send those out until after April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you get it? You get it in May.
Right.
You filed a month or 2 months prior, and all of a sudden you're getting this tax document, and it looks a lot like 1099s and W-2s that you've gotten during the year. So it is a bit confusing.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, for those out there, what you really are looking for is that Form 1099 to show if you've taken any distributions or any type of interest on non-retirement accounts and so forth. So those are the forms you're going to need to file your taxes. And again, if you're working with an investment advisor and you haven't received them yet, you probably should reach out to them and just ask the question, hey, what's going on? Where can I get it? Oftentimes, I know with our clients, they have online access to their accounts. They have online access to those tax forms. They could usually go right online and they can download them themselves, which is great.
Correct.
But if not, hey, reach out and try to get those done so you can get that information over. Darren, tax deadline is still April 15th this year. They haven't changed that, right?
They haven't changed that.
Still could happen, but I just don't see it in the cards. I haven't been any mention.
You know
of
what?
It, right?
I think it's a flip of a coin. Mm-hmm. I could most definitely see them doing it.
Yeah.
Again, it's still COVID-19 is still prevalent.
Sure.
It still impacts a lot of taxpayers. It impacts a lot of tax preparation entities.
Yeah.
Because of just the, you know, again, people who you don't want it. It's such a grind for especially in CPA firms. But you don't want to have to put the pressure on people to come to work if they're not feeling well or if they have a fever. So I could see them doing that. I don't think they'll do it until March if they do announce that they will.
Well, I would still be prepared just in case that
I would say to push for the April 15th filing deadline.
And even if they did extend it, how nice would it be to have it done? You know, not have to think about it. Darren, I got another email here, and this one's from Julie, and Julie asked a question about cash charitable contributions. You know, how do we deduct those? How much can we deduct of those? Because sometimes it's tough to keep track of those, too. The cash contributions to charities. You know, and I know oftentimes if you buy things online, they ask, would you like to donate a dollar or whatever it is to this or that? So there are, it's difficult. How do you deal with that, Darren, on a tax return?
So a couple of things. Since the 2018 tax law changes, a lot more people are taking the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the government realized that and said, okay, we've impacted charities in that situation. So even if you're in a standard deduction situation where you don't itemize, you're still able to take a deduction for $300 per individual, $600 for a married couple. And that does reduce your taxable income.
Okay.
So you'll want to keep those receipts. You'll want to keep the letters. You know, there are a lot of, you know, a dollar here, a dollar there. You can certainly document those. They're under $250 mm-hmm. per contribution.
Right.
Most people are looking for the, you know, you write a $100 check to St. Mary's Food Bank.
Sure.
And you'll get a letter back from them that says, yeah, you've made a cash charitable contribution for $100. Mm-hmm. And it has a 501c3 designation at the bottom. So again, you may not have been, since 2018, giving your tax preparer that cash contribution information, charitable contribution information. If they're not asking for it, try and accumulate that, get it over to them because it could help you.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right, I want to talk on this next topic, Darren, and I know this is one that you and I deal with on a regular basis. I meet a lot of people who come to me who are professionals. They may work for themselves, Darren, but they might be in an industry where they're an independent contractor and they do contract work for a corporation, and maybe it's, or multiple corporations. Maybe it's a real estate agent who is selling homes, and they make commissions from that. But they take that money in as just ordinary income. They don't have any type of plan as far as how to set up that business that they're doing. And ultimately, it can definitely hurt them in the long run, and it can cost them a lot more money on an annual basis for taxes than it would be as if they were to set up a specific entity to run their business through and be a little bit more streamlined with how they did it in order to maximize the tax efficiency of that, right?
Right, and that's a big deal, John, because what you're really looking at there is it's easy to be in business, mm-hmm. right? All you really have to do is hold yourself out, go knock on doors,
doing business
print
as,
business cards if you mm-hmm. want to, not necessarily do it, put a website together. You can be in business. And that's fine. You need to be tracking the income, you need to be tracking the expenses and reporting it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so really, what's the trigger for really calling a professional and getting some advice on how you should set your business up? It's when you start a business.
Right.
It really is. Yeah. Because if you're reporting your business activity on your business, on your personal tax return, you very well could be missing a lot. Because again, you're going to pay self-employment taxes, FICA and Medicare, on 100% of your net profit in that entity. And that's not necessarily what Congress nor the IRS is intending for you to do. They have mechanisms and opportunities where, as long as you're set up properly, and that'd be form an LLC. Even as an LLC, you could still be reporting your activity on your personal return.
Right.
But with an LLC, you could be taxed as an S corporation. You could be taxed as a partnership. You and your spouse could be active and passive in your business activity, which could very well save you 15.3% on that profit. If you're making $100,000 and you're able to save 15.3% on half of that income,
that
turns into, you know, $7,500 a year of tax savings. You can put that toward building your net worth, building your retirement,
or a contribution towards your retirement as well. Right. Yeah, right. Increasing that contribution to retirement. How nice is that?
Right. And that is what I would recommend, because mm-hmm. you are reducing your retirement earnings when you do that. So yeah. A contribution to a retirement account that you have control over with your investment advisor is a key item, because you're taking control of your future.
Yeah.
It's not in the hands of these payroll withdrawals that are just going to the Social Security Administration. So I would recommend, if you have a business, make sure it's set up properly. Mm-hmm. Contact a professional. Talk to your tax advisor. Call your CPA and just say, hey, what am I doing and how am I doing it? And again, we see it all the time. People are paying thousands and thousands of dollars too much right. on their businesses, just from a simple standpoint of not handling the entity properly.
Yeah, and I know I sent someone over to you last week, and we went through that whole process with them, and
right.
You were able to certainly make an impact for them. So,
right.
Something to think about.
A big difference, and a lot of people just don't know what questions to ask. Well, if you're in business, just say, you know, show a professional your tax return. Ask them if you're set up properly. Mm-hmm.
Can you stay another segment?
I sure can.
Good. I want to talk a little bit about Social Security, Darren. You know, when we work with clients to develop some type of a retirement income strategy for them, Social Security is a big part of it. But while you're working, Social Security is critical as well, because you're paying into the system. Let's talk about that when we get back. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on. All right, John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. Thanks again for sticking around and joining us here on this wonderful Saturday morning. Weather's certainly nice. I feel happy for the people in Texas right now. That's for darn sure. They've been able to, weather the storm, as it would be. It was pretty sad what happened.
It was terrible.
Out there, you know. A lot of people suffered quite a bit out there with the closures and the freezing, and my gosh, it was just endless what happened, losing power. But looks like they've got a handle back on that, and maybe they're going to put some protocols in place so that if in the event this happens in the next 100 years, they'll be prepared for it, because this is a kind of a 100-year thing.
It is.
It's almost like in Arizona when we see these big gullies here in Arizona, and you think, look, what is that? What a waste. That's that 100-year flood gully, you know? If we get the torrential rains that could come here once every 100 years, you start to see all those things are going to make a lot of sense. Texas has their work cut out for them to try to put some things in place, I would imagine, right, Darren?
They do.
Woo!
Yeah, it's a bad situation.
Hey, I'm John Dombrowski again. This is The Word on Wealth. I'm speaking with Darren Sigrist of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser right now. The reason I have Darren on again for another segment is it's tax time. We want to kind of get all this out there for you out there who are listening, and hopefully you're gathering all that information, putting it all together, and putting it in the hands of your tax advisor so you can get your returns done in a timely fashion. Darren, I want to kind of go, though, in a little bit of a different direction. In the scenario where I'm working with clients as their financial professional and helping them get into retirement, we're constantly looking at all of the assets that they have, all of the potential income sources that they'll have in retirement. One of them might be a pension. I still have some clients that are fortunate enough to have been able to be involved with companies for many, many years that, you know, contributed money to towards a pension for them, as
right.
well as also contributing to their 401k. You know, some companies have been able to do that. Others have eliminated the pensions, and they have forced people into buyouts on those pensions in many cases, which is fine. Then you take that pension and roll it over to an IRA. You take custody of it, and maybe you have the opportunity to grow that
right.
that IRA much better than in the hands of the pension people. As we know, some of the pensions have had real difficulty, especially if you're working for a municipality right now. They're trying to get that to be as part of the COVID relief bill, right?
They are trying
to get money to the states and to the different communities and areas of the government. We won't go into that discussion at the moment, but I would say it's sad for the people who work there. I can certainly understand some of those pensions that are under siege, and it's just poor management by the people who are in charge of those, and that's no fault of the recipients, but it's certainly a fault of the people who are in charge of it.
It is.
As we know, I always say this, wouldn't it be nice if we as individuals could print money like the Fed?
Oh, wouldn't it?
You know, the only thing we could do is use our credit card, but that means we have to pay it back. Now, the government does have to pay it back, but they can set their own terms.
They kind of forget about that part of it, though, don't they? They just keep raising those limits.
Yeah. And the way they'll pay it back is how? Is by raising our taxes, right? So ultimately, we pay for it. So it is kind of funny. But Darren, I wanted to get into a question regarding Social Security here. There's limits as to the amount of Social Security that an individual can receive, because there's limits as to how much that a person can put into the system.
Right.
So, you know, you can work, I think it's 40 quarters is what you have to work. Your highest 40 quarters is what's going to ultimately determine what your Social Security benefit is.
Right.
But with that being said, there's a maximum amount of money that you have to put into the system in order to get the maximum amount out. And I think for 2021, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, Darren, the limit is in like 140 some odd thousand is what you pay Social Security up to that point, right?
Right, right. It's just a hair under 140.
Okay, so for those out there who are working and they're earning a wage of $98,000, well, they wouldn't max out that Social Security benefit,
correct.
Right? But if I'm earning a wage of $200,000, then I'm paying the maximum into the Social Security system, right?
Correct. And if you're on a W-2, what you see coming out of your paycheck up to that $98,000 level would be 6.2% on for FICA,
right,
and 1.45% for Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Medicare never stops.
Medicare doesn't stop, right, but for Social Security it does. So I would just encourage people out there, you can go to the Social Security's website. I think it's ss.gov.
Yeah.
Or you can go to our website, grandcanyonplanning.com, and we have links on our website, which you can get to the Social Security's website. And then you can fill out, you know, the question or answer the questionnaire, set up an account there online so that you can get your Social Security statement. Because I don't know if we get those in the mail anymore. I don't remember getting one.
I don't think you do.
Yeah. So I always encourage my clients to go to the website, get the information from the horse's mouth, as it would be.
Yeah.
And this way, we can use that as part of our planning process when we're putting together an income strategy for them. And what's nice about it, even if you're not retired yet, wouldn't it be nice to know, let's assume you're going to retire in 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is, wouldn't it be nice to kind of know where you're going to be? And we could use some type of an internal rate of return as far as an estimate for growth on your portfolio. And let's try to see how your money is going to be moving as you're, you know, working towards retirement. And then one day you're going to be saying, you know what, I'm no longer going to be receiving a wage. How am I going to be replacing that income? Well, it's going to be coming from a couple of different sources. As I mentioned earlier, maybe you have a pension. Maybe you have some other type of retirement fund that you've contributed to over time, whether there's 401k, whether it's a 457 plan if you work for a governmental agency, whether it's a 403b if you work for a hospital or a school. All of these things are going to be taken into account when we start to put together the income strategy. And Darren, I find it's interesting sometimes people would say to me is, I'm not taxed on that, am I? Let's talk about Social Security. Is that a taxable line item on your tax return?
Yeah, and in the infinite minds of the government, that the answer is it depends.
Yeah,
so it depends on how much you're making.
Right, right.
So really, the
it's
answer,
included for the total tax.
So the answer is yeah. If you're a married filing joint, for instance, and your overall income from sources non Social Security are about $40,000. Or under,
right?
Then you very well may not be paying tax on that Social Security income,
right?
Once it's over that, you're probably going to be paying tax on at least half of it, and once it goes above a certain limit, you're going to pay tax on 85% of it,
right?
So, you are it not on the entire amount, and a lot of people get confused. It's like, okay, I'm going to pay 85% tax on that. No, it's just 85% if you're getting $20,000 of Social Security annually. 85% of that 20 is going to go in your taxable income line, taxable income column.
Right. I guess what's interesting too, Darren, is if you think about it, when you're working, you're earning a wage. Let's say you earn $100,000. Social Security comes out of that. But I guess the question I would ask you, and I don't know what the answer is of this, I never thought about it. Do you actually pay income tax on the amount that they're deducting for the Social Security? So that's seven.
It's coming out of your after-tax dollars.
So you're paying tax on it. So it's interesting. You're paying tax on the contribution, and then you're paying tax on the actual benefit when you receive it too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
It is.
That's not a good thing, but it happens. That's what it is. So so that's why sometimes, depending on your age, depending on your cash flow, and depending on the opportunity that you have as a worker, can you contribute a portion of your money to Roth? And Darren, that's a conversation I have with a lot of my clients, because wouldn't it be nice to have some of the money in retirement that you're going to be receiving not have to be in that line item of a taxable item?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Right?
And I think that's a question, again, that I know you get that question all the time, so do I.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a very, that question is running rampant right now. And I think it just depends on so many variables, like we've talked about before, even on conversions.
Right, right. I think people are just afraid of what taxes are going to be, in the near future and in the long term.
Yeah, and ultimately you either pay tax on those conversions now, or you're going to pay tax on it in the future.
Right,
so it's a matter of dialing that equation in and really determining what your risk is. What is your risk tolerance? Maybe that'll be a great decision. Maybe it won't be.
Right.
If you're converting. Yep. Otherwise, you can make current year Roth contributions.
Right.
You can get involved in some 401k plans that allow you to make Roth contributions.
Yeah.
And again, the right answer isn't always no, just reduce your tax liability today.
Yeah. When I meet with clients, Darren, that's certainly a conversation, is that what are you making as a contribution to the 401k now? And is it possible, number one, that you can increase that based on your cash flow needs? But two, is there an opportunity for you to contribute to a Roth contribution in that 401k as well? And if there is, maybe you divide that contribution part Roth and part traditional. Yes, you'll have a higher income tax rate, but if you can contribute more to the retirement account, you might be able to offset that. So there are things we can do to help maximize the amount of money that you could save and hopefully be tax efficient with that once you begin distributions in the future. So much to talk about, Darren. I know you got to get going, coming to the end of the segment. Thank you so much for being
here.
As always,
me.
Darren Sigrist of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser. If you need to speak with a CPA here to get those taxes done, we still have time. Darren, what's your phone number again, real quick?
480-730-1569. And we're at azcpas.com.
There you go. All right, I'm John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. We got one more segment to go. Stay here with us. Check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We'll be right back.
And the moon is the only light we'll see.
I think the dollars have changed. That's an old song, but I think that's probably more like I need $100 today.
Well, with inflation, was this from the 60s?
Yeah. Dollar just doesn't.
I don't even know who this is.
It's let's see, Aloe Black is the it's an old one. I don't know. I just kind of dug that up.
I don't think you've ever had that on there.
No, I dug that one up out there somewhere. So always looking for fun, different music, but
like it.
I need a dollar too, because then I can go buy a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this freckled faced kid's got a dream too, you know.
You know, Chris, talking about the lottery, that's not probably a good way to plan your retirement. That you're going to win a lottery. No, right. but could you imagine winning the lottery? It'd almost be a burden if you won like a $500 million. What do you do with that?
John, I'll take that chance.
Would you?
I'll take that chance. I have a plan.
You do?
I have a plan.
You have a plan for that?
I have a plan for that.
Are you buying tickets?
Actually, I do.
You do?
I do.
Everyone?
Yes.
Regularly?
Very regularly.
Have you ever won anything?
Won $2,000.
Wow.
I've won $1,100.
What'd you do with it?
I just rolled it right back into the lottery.
I thought that's your plan? So if you win $500 million,
because
you're going
to roll it? If I won $2,000, maybe next time I'll win $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds like I gave my children.
Like you have a problem.
I brought it home, gave my wife some of it, gave my children some of
that's
it.
Nice.
A little bit of donations, things like that.
So if you won $500 million, what would you do?
Well, I think about 40% to 45% goes into taxes. So let's call it 200. I would take the lump sum.
Yeah.
About $225 million, I'd buy a bunch of municipal bonds. This way I know that I have my income tax-free. Buy a very large chunk of property up north. Build a beautiful cabin on it. Do a lot of travel. I'd like to do a lot of charitable work with that. I don't even know necessarily of me setting up a foundation. You always hear about these sports figures. And, oh, my foundation, my foundation. I kind of find that eventually is splitting up the pie too much. So I think I would focus on what I believe are quality charities. Yeah.
Who already do a good job.
Right.
Yeah.
And just help fund them with their work.
Very good. I haven't thought about what I do, Chris, because you know what? I don't play the lottery. Well, you know, I do very rarely.
Right.
We've once in a while, you know, someone says, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket. It's up to $500 million. You want to? Sure. And I give them a couple bucks and throw my money in. But yeah, I don't, that's not something that I ever count on. And I haven't thought about it because I don't think it's going to ever happen to me because I'm not trying. Now, on the other side of things, if we think about healthcare and the cost of healthcare, one of the things when I find people come to us about retiring, they're thinking, hey, I'm ready to retire now. And I say, okay, how old are you, number one, right? We want to know the age because we want to understand whether or not they're going to qualify for Social Security.
Right.
Is that going to be part of the income? Maybe they've got a pension. But if they're under the age of 65, we also have to consider health care as part of the expense that they're going to have to cover until they hit that age of 65. So for those out there who want to retire early, this is certainly something that needs to be considered.
Every day it's getting more and more important as far as the healthcare costs. Is your employer, are they giving you a buyout plan?
Right.
And does that mean that they're also going to take care of your health insurance premiums as they had when you were a full-time employee? Because as we all know, healthcare is just becoming more and more expensive. And gosh, we've seen in the employment field as far as the pay may not be so great, but the health benefits are, and people, it's that important that they're willing to take a little bit less per hour because the cost of healthcare has gone through the roof. So it's absolutely an important part of the plan to get an idea how will you cover healthcare costs until you can jump onto Medicare at age 65. And it's just something that needs to be addressed. And a lot of people are just not thinking about that.
Yeah. And if you're in that position where you're thinking about retiring early, one of the things is number one for you and your spouse, you've got to consider that, right? Depending on where your spouse is. Maybe your spouse is still working.
Right.
You're thinking of retirement, maybe your spouse is still working. Maybe you're, that's a great, great thing. I mean, if that's a situation you're in where one of you wants to continue to work, great. Maybe you could go on that plan. And maybe there's a way to cover that cost. Maybe there's it's a less expensive way to go. Certainly, you want to look at that and research to see if that's an option. And if not, then you've got to maybe look at, did you contribute to a health savings account?
Right.
So if you're thinking about retiring, maybe you're 60 and you're thinking of retiring, oh, maybe at 62 or 63. You've got 3 years. One of the things you might want to consider doing, and most companies will allow you to do this, depending on the plan, is contribute to a health savings account. If you can contribute to a health savings account, Chris, for the next 2, 3, 4 years, you might be able to build up enough in that health savings account to cover the cost of the premiums for the years up until the age of 65. So it could be a solution to this if you could plan a little ahead.
And the health savings accounts, it's a fantastic vehicle.
Right.
And it gives you a lot of opportunities to save for your health on a tax-free basis.
Right.
Because you get to deduct it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to play tax advisor, but from when I sit with my CPA, that it's tax deductible.
Right.
And the nice thing is that it's meant for healthcare costs. Excuse me. And then if I believe after the age of 65, where that health savings account could only be used just for health before that, after age 65, you can use it for anything.
Right. You could actually draw down.
Pay the tax.
Of course, it's going to be taxable. It works like an IRA, folks.
Very much so.
Right. So if you're getting to deduct it from your income, even if you're contributing to an IRA, if you're above 50, you could put $6,500 into that IRA. Or if you're contributing to your 401k, you're going to be able to also contribute to a health savings account and reduce your tax liability by doing so. And as you mentioned, Chris, if you're using that money for health issues, for healthcare costs, then it's tax-free. You're able to use it. But if you do decide at some point in the future to use it as some type of supplement to retirement or income, yes, you'll have to pay taxes on it, just like an IRA. So, but that's okay. I mean, if you haven't used it for healthcare, great.
It had to be taxed at some point in time. We know that.
Yeah. So very good. All right, Chris, as far as preparation for the change, I want to talk about preparation for change of employment. And this is something I see often where folks come in to us because they're changing their job and they want to know what their options are when it comes to the retirement accounts that they have. And usually it's someone maybe who's 50, 55 years old.
Right.
They've been working with the company now for maybe 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden there's a change. Maybe the company that they're with is downsizing. Maybe they're changing a focus on something, and the team that they were working with is no longer going to be needed. And what winds up happening is they get riffed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a reduction in force, and they get some type of a package possibly. But the thought is, okay, now that I have this, what do I do from here? We may have a 401k. We may have some stock options.
Mm-hmm.
We may have some other type of pension plan that's part of this. What do we do, Chris? How does it all work out at that point?
I think we absolutely, before you make any decisions on anything, I would certainly ask and offer that opportunity to give us a call. And let's sit down and let's take a review. Well, what are your job options out there? Are you looking for another job? And maybe it's, Chris, John, do I have a possibility of retiring right now?
Right.
We have to take a look at those things. Certainly, if we're below that 59 and a half, we don't want to necessarily go tapping into those IRAs. There are ways to do it where we don't pay penalties. It's certainly a conversation that we can have of how do we stretch you to getting Social Security. But we're going to take a look at your 401k, at pensions, at cash.
Mm-hmm.
As well as healthcare and how are you going to maintain health insurance premiums, et cetera. So I would strongly suggest that the first thing you do is give us a buzz.
Right.
Come on in, bring everything in that shoebox, John, and let's review and see how our plan has changed from you retiring at 62 to maybe now at 57 or whatever it may be.
And the other thing, the other thought, Chris, too, is that, okay, if you've got the employee stock option plan, the ESOP plan, okay, how are you vested in that?
Right.
Are you vested in that?
Right.
What's the tax liability of something like that? How about the pension? Is there an opportunity to lump sum out on that pension where they're going to give you the availability to take the lump sum and roll that over into an IRA? Then, of course, you've got that 401k. You had the 401k, which you've been contributing to. And oftentimes, Chris, what we do find is not only do you have that 401k, but when you come in for the review, we find, oh, there was a prior 401k too, or there's an IRA, or there's another type of an account out there that all of a sudden we start to look at, well, how can we consolidate these accounts and make sure that they're all working in our favor to help us now that we have this issue that we're facing of potentially an early retirement, or maybe is there that opportunity to get out there and still gain other fair employment. And that's probably, in many cases, what there is, Chris. Unfortunately, though, we're short on time now. We've got to get...
Flew by again.
All right, Chris Lutzel, one of our advisors here at the firm Grand Canyon Planning. Appreciate it, as always, Chris. Hey, folks, if you want to get in touch with us for your own personal financial planning review or retirement planning review, you can do that by picking up the phone and calling us directly at 480-991-1055. That's 480-991-1055. Happy to sit down and talk with you to see what you're doing to plan for your financial future. Or you can check out our website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com, and you can get to us that way as well and schedule that appointment. Until next time, I'm John Dombrowski reminding you don't run out of money before you run out of time.
The Word on Wealth with John Dombrowski, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Call and schedule your complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.